You're listening to Higher Ed Social, episode 74. I'm Jackie.
And I'm Logan, and we're back after like a month. It was a nice break. We went to High Ed Web. We had a lot of great fun. And now we're back and ready for action. And this week we talked to Paul Gilzo, the apps developer from University of Missouri. We got to hang out with him a lot at High Ed Web. And his big thing was that he won the best of track and best in conference at High Ed Web for his presentation, Access Denied, Keeping Yourself Off an Attacker's Radar.
Yeah, it was a really great conference. Logan and I had a great time presenting a poster on this podcast and also meeting a lot of great new folks, seeing old friends, and learning a lot of new things. So we talk a lot about the conference, which obviously was a lot of fun. And we also talk about what's happening on our campuses and how we can actually be affected by physical distance from our team, which is really interesting. So we hope you enjoy this episode of Higher Ed Social. Have you started recording?
Yes, I've started recording.
Hooray! Welcome to the show.
Perfect. Hopefully he'll do a little editing.
Yeah, oh, I yes, always do a little editing.
There's okay. A lot of editing that goes in. Not a lot. We keep it pretty raw, other than when any of us say something ridiculous, but when would that happen?
It's kind of what I do.
Yeah, Logan, are you sick of editing? You're doing a lot of video at work?
Yes, I do a lot of video at work. It's that might be why there's not been a show.
That's a big reason.
Couple of weeks. Cuz that's a thing.
Yeah. Another big reason is because of the recent High Ed Web High Ed Web conference where Paul, you had a pretty spectacular conference.
Yes, I did. It was very uplifting. It was what I needed.
Yes. Well, we should probably start by having you introduce yourself for our listeners.
Okay.
And then we'll go into the conference.
So I'm Paul Gilzo. I'm with the University of Missouri, where I'm an apps developer. I've been there since 2000 and been doing apps dev since 2005. So quite a long time there.
Yes, that is a long time. Mm-hmm. Must be a great place to work.
No, normally, yeah. It's like any other higher ed place. It's got its own ups and downs and yep. Trials and tribulations.
Yeah. What are you part of? Like, are you in the web services? Like, where do you live?
So I'm in marketing and communications in what is called Mizzou Creative. That used to be Web Communications.
Oh.
So, yeah. So we do, besides web stuff, we also do print as well. We handle the Mizzou alumni magazine. And then we do all the news sites, basically all the news that comes out of the university.
Got it. I have a very similar structure.
Very cool.
Our own department, our web team hangs out with us. We have the alumni newsletter. We have some news writers. It's kind of fun to be on a team like that. I like the setup.
Yeah, the setups. Well, the only problem is they have us geographically separated. So all the digital people are in one building and all the writers, editors, photographers, and those types are in a completely different building.
That's a bummer.
Yeah,
we're all in one house. Yeah. Except we have athletics folks that work like as part of our team, but they live over in athletics. Okay. And then we have our photography and videography folks actually don't live in our house. Which is kind of a bummer because we work obviously incredibly closely with them.
Right.
But pretty soon we're moving to literally a new house because it was a house. Slightly technically on campus, but our campus is very small that it's all enclosed inside of itself. And there's a street and it's across the street. So it feels like we're moving off campus, but like we're really not. But it'll be exciting to have the whole team. It's like having the whole family over.
Yeah.
So exciting. Everybody together. Yeah.
Yeah, we're just mildly, I mean, we have I'm a designer developer and a content kind of our senior web and digital media specialist, and they're upstairs and then I'm downstairs. And then we have the back-end guys who handle the server technology, cloud, all that kind of stuff. They actually are in a completely different department in the library on the other side of campus. So,
wow. So it's interesting thinking about how often I collaborate with folks that I walk, you know, down the hall to their office versus having to email them or having to call them or like waiting until the next meeting that I'm with them.
Luckily, we're not too far apart that it's not. I mean, you can walk over there. It's a couple blocks, so it's not that bad.
Are you on a really big campus?
Yes. Big enough. I don't know how big it is. Like, it would take, it takes about to go from one corner to the other, probably 25 minutes to walk it.
Wow. Not my life. small liberal arts college. Yay. Yeah. In New York. And even my undergrad was a small campus. I'm really bad with directions. So when I was looking for a college, I was looking primarily at very small schools because I don't know where I'm going ever. So, are you from there originally?
I'm originally from California.
Ah,
it's where I was born, and then my parents moved to Springfield, Missouri, which is south of Columbia. And then I went to high school in the capital, in Jefferson City. Graduated, then went to MSU, which was called SMSU. So, you know, if you know Sarah Clark from Higher Ed Web, or from so she's from MSU. So that's where I went for a year, and then ended up at Mizzou. Bailed in the middle of my junior year to take a job in the action sports industry. Did that for a while until I had numerous shoulder dislocations, and it kind of ended that career. And so then went back to Mizzou and got my degree and then kind of just stayed here.
What did you do to your shoulder?
What did I do? 62 total dislocations and 2 reconstructions.
Lord.
How? What are you doing with your shoulder? What do you do that? Weightlifting? Like, what were you doing?
Wakeboarding.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I did that for Liquid Force. I don't know if you're familiar with wakeboarding at all, but. I worked for Liquid Force, which was probably the number 2 company.
Okay.
I worked there as the assistant marketing manager or marketing director, and then the team manager. So I handled all the contracts for the pro riders.
Wow.
That was a blast. It was fun. I got to travel all over the United States and go wakeboarding with people and party, and all my stuff was paid for.
And so now you work at a college.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
What inspired the switch? Was it just right place, right time?
Yeah. So I was going to move to Florida. Not. I was going to move to Florida after the first reconstruction. And then I met my wife. And she dislocated my shoulder when I asked her to marry her. And so I had to have a second reconstruction. And then I stayed.
Wow. So are you like part robot?
Yeah. You know, Mel Gibson, where you can pop it in and out. I used to be able to do that.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it is disgusting.
Let's not talk about that anymore.
Yeah. Maybe we move on. That's gross.
Cause if Jackie will go quiet and
No, I'm good. that's really gross, but I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah. It's holding down, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When was your most recent reconstruction?
98.
Oh, so you're like, you're good.
Yeah, I should be good now.
Just no more wakeboarding, maybe.
Yeah, no more wakeboarding. I've done a little bit, but not too much.
Got it. Wow, how cool. What a cool talent. I don't have any fun sport talents. I was a bowler. That's not cool.
Well, that's fun. I like bowling.
It's fun.
Bowling
is
fun.
It's just an excuse to drink. That's really all it is.
Yep.
Well, here's my segue. Good thing your shoulder is in full operation because you needed it to carry all of your awards at the conference.
Yes. I had a stellar year this year. I had a very good year at Higher Ed Web.
Yes. So for our listeners who are sick of all of us talking about Hyatt Web, or maybe our listeners that have never heard of Hyatt Web, it is a organization that focuses on higher ed marketers and web developers. And there's an annual conference as well as regional conferences throughout the year. And Logan, Paul, and I were all just in Memphis, which is why we did not have a show for a couple weeks, because we were at the annual conference.
Right.
And Hyatt Web gives out Red Stapler Awards for the best presentation in each of the tracks that are being presented. There's seven. Are they seven tracks? Seven tracks. I'm doing well. I'm not even reading this off their website. And then we all get to watch a Red Stapler presentation, which is really cool. And then after that, we all learn who is awarded Best of Conference, which is a really big deal, because when you think about 2 full days, I think there's 12 sessions per track over the 2 days. Like,
so that's 84 a lot of presentations.
Yeah, and like, it's pretty amazing. And so to win Best of Track is a big deal. And we have the winner of not only Best of Track, but Best of Conference.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I was quite shocked to win.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you.
Why don't you summarize?
And not yes. Not yes. I'm surprised that you won. It was more yes, as in yes.
Yeah, we're real shocked you won, Paul. Even though, you know, I was also presenting, so I am, of course, shocked that you won and I did not. I'm kidding. But I know that you were a tech track and I am not a tech person. So explain your session to me as though I am a kindergartner.
Oh, okay. Also, sorry. Like Eli5 on Reddit.
Yeah, I like that.
Nice. So what I covered was how attackers analyze your website or your web apps, gather information that you're freely and probably don't even know you're giving out, then use that information to figure out how to attack and take over your site.
Wow.
And with
a specific
focus on WordPress, simply because WordPress has such a large footprint and so many of us in higher ed use WordPress.
Right.
Yes.
Interesting. Can you tell before, like as it's happening or like around when it's happening, that it is happening, that people are stealing your stuff? Or is it only after the information is used that you realize that your stuff is stolen?
So the techniques I used that I showed were black box or silent reconnaissance. So really, unless you're really good at reading logs and watching traffic, you'd have no way to know what they were doing initially. You wouldn't be able to tell that they were gathering up any information. It would only be if you were to happen to find whatever attack they launched against you.
Wow.
So yeah, one of the things I did in the presentation was a live exploit, and we took over a site and installed a backdoor shell script, which basically gives you free access to do whatever you want that the account can do.
Wow.
Interesting.
So you were the attacker.
Yeah, I was both the attacker and the victim. I've played both sides.
Do you lead a double life that you're now just revealing on the show?
There you go.
Is this you coming clean?
There you go.
All right, does this mean that you attack all of your like school's competition websites? Because that's not cool. That's not
cool. No. However, you'll see me every once in a while ask if somebody knows anybody at another school. Mm-hmm. And that's usually because I noticed something when I went to that school.
Interesting. So you're just looking out. You're the good guy.
So, you know, in the Matrix at the end where Neo like sees everything.
Yeah.
That's kind of how, like, when you go to after you do this for so long, you can go to a website and you can just see stuff and then go, I bet that's probably vulnerable, and poke at it for a few seconds and then go, yeah, that's vulnerable.
Yep. Wow. So that's what you do, Paul. You just look at the screen, you just pull up the website and all you see are just green lines like sliding down.
Is that
and you're
like,
that's a blonde and that's a steak and up. There goes that Superman thing.
Yep. And the redhead. Don't forget the redhead.
The redhead, so yes.
Is this a main part of your daily job responsibilities, or is this something that you kind of have picked up?
It's something I've picked up. I've made it part of my daily job. And because I think all higher ed, we have a hard time keeping security analysts on staff. Mm-hmm. Mostly because we can't pay anywhere near what the private market pays.
Right.
So I often step in to the role of helping them and do some of the web stuff for them. I got into it. I've actually always been into the security aspect. I've always been a tinker, so kind of like looking at something and figure out, okay, well, if I move this, what happens? Or if I take this away, what happens? So kind of trying to figure out how to break stuff. Mm-hmm. And I kind of translated into the web when I started doing more web applications programming. My first professional job as an apps dev was building an online application system for our HR department. So I was collecting social security numbers and, you know, all kinds of personal identifiable information. So I wanted to make sure it was secure. So started to learn how to attack my own site to make sure I wasn't missing anything. And that's kind of how I got deep into it.
Oh, wow. That's so neat. I feel like a lot of jobs, or like a lot of higher ed jobs, people start with their job responsibility and then they start finding interesting things that are semi-related to their job, but no one's really doing it. And then they really grow a super solid skill set, which is great for the person, but also kind of terrible because that means they have double the responsibility now.
Yes. And particularly bad when they leave, because right. Then they leave a hole that the department can't fill easily.
Exactly. That
it's
is
called
that
job is security.
It is called job security.
That's how I've always called it.
Just sometimes people just move on because they have outgrown the opportunity there. It's not like, you know, they get knocked or, you know, kicked out or fired or whatever. But yeah, it is tough. Especially, I mean, like, we had a couple folks in my department retire. Mm-hmm. And so they had been with the college for a very long time. And, you know, looking at their, like, written job responsibilities from when they were hired versus, like, oh, well, you know, Joe did that. Oh, no, Joe did that. Joe did that. Like, it's like, well, it wasn't in their job responsibilities, so do we add it? Like, how does this work? Where do we pick up the slack?
Right.
It's very challenging. Yeah. Darn you, Joe. You were so crucial. Mm-hmm. That was just... That was a placeholder name, my friends. Not like, just for the record, I'm not blaming anyone named Joe. I actually don't work with anyone named Joe. Well, very cool. So this is not your first Hyatt Web, and this is not your first presentation at a Hyatt Web.
No.
How many have you been to?
I have been to 3 Hyatt Webs, 2008, 2009, and then 2016.
Oh, wow. You took a little break there.
Took a little break. Budgets dried up. Mm. Yeah, you know how it goes.
We missed you.
Well,
so you know, this is
things happen.
This was my third Red Stapler.
Wow.
And my second Best of Conference.
Congratulations.
Wow. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Where do you put all of the staplers and the trophies?
They're on my desk at work, and I do get a lot of questions about why I like staplers so much.
No, you don't get it. It's a big deal.
Yeah, particularly when they start to, they're like, oh, I need to borrow a stapler, and they start to reach for one of them. I'm like, no, those aren't for using.
Yeah. My question that I've been meaning to ask a Red Stapler winner for years is, are there staples in the Red Staplers?
Whoa, I've never looked.
Oh, my God, what?
They are actual swing line.
They're real.
Like, they are real swing line Red Staplers that have engraving on them.
Right, which is why I don't use them.
Right, you don't want to touch that thing.
I don't touch them. I put them in their special place.
Hey, I use my iPad.
Well, right, but your iPad wasn't like gifted to you as an award.
It was only signed by LeVar Burton.
There it is. It only took what 20 minutes for Logan to mention LeVar Burton. I'm impressed.
That is impressive.
Yes.
So tomorrow I'm going to have to look to see if any of them actually have staples in them.
Please report back, because I'm always curious to know if there are staples in those Red Staplers.
I'm pretty sure you can put staples in them. So
oh, I'm sure I can do that.
Yeah, but you don't want to do that. Yeah.
You don't want to ruin a stapler by putting staples.
You don't want to risk it. Like, no, no, no.
Well, no, that's why you charge people to, you know, when someone says, I need your stapler, you say, okay. $1.50
Wow, it's a money making machine right here. I don't know
if they really want to get something stapled, they got to pay up.
So, any other Red Stapler winners out there that are listening, please report back on if you got staples in your Red Stapler.
Stapler.
That's a really big deal.
That is.
Even though Paul will technically be able to reply back, like, literally tomorrow when this show will not be live.
Well, maybe like, this year's stapler got staples and, like, his first one didn't. Like, I'm curious now.
That's true.
That is true.
I'll have to go back. I will report back for sure.
Just trying to do some market research, Logan.
Market.
For science.
Market research.
For the sake of our listeners. They want to know these things.
I think it's just for the sake of Jackie. Question. But sure.
I'm here to support you. So besides your own, what session was your big, like, everyone says there's the golden nugget of your conference experience where it's like that one thing you're going to take back. What was your golden nugget, Paul?
That's easy. It's Nikki's presentation on the gamification.
Oh, tell me about that, because I did not have the opportunity to
attend. That was amazing. She made me cry.
Really?
Yeah.
There were feels?
Yeah, major feels. It was really, it was super. So, you
and
know,
this
usually,
is Nikki Masario Kaufman.
Yes, who we still need.
Yeah, sorry. I said Nikki, like everybody knows Nikki. Well, Nikki's super famous. Everybody should know Nikki.
She is really famous.
So, most of the time when you hear gamification, or at least when I hear gamification, I think of the cheesy gamification.
Yeah.
And she really didn't talk. I mean, she did talk a little bit about how we can gamify education as far as getting kids engaged. But it was really more of how everybody deserves a chance at education, and that nobody should ever feel like they can't engage in education. So the example she gave was, you know, every game has an entry level, has a beginner level to get you into things and get your feet wet and kind of get your, you know, the groundwork and figure out how the game works. And then you can advance at your own rate. And education, she said, in a lot of ways isn't like that. She gave the example of a professor who says, you know, well, look to your left, look to your right, at least one of you is going to be gone in the next year, you know, before the semester ends, and how we shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't be trying to get rid of people in education. We should try to make sure that everybody can play together. And then talked about, like, the massive, I'm no good with gaming, so the massive online games, massive multiplayer games.
MMORPG.
Thank you, those. How those build up real big communities in them, and everybody helps each other. And
except
make sure
in Eve, where everyone stabs each other in the back. But
oh, really?
Yes. But anyway.
She didn't talk about that. She only talked about the side. Like, she went to one and joined a group of fifth grade boys, and figured it was just going to be horrible. You know, fifth grade boys can be pretty mean.
Yeah, we've
but
all
instead,
seen South
they had,
Park.
Like, what's that?
We've all seen South Park.
Yeah. And she said it wasn't. They had, you know, they had rules and standards, but then they were extremely nice and helped her out and helped her figure out what she needed to do to start, and then explained, like, okay, well, you can't do this until you get so many points, and then you have to donate so many points to the group, and then we'll help you out here. And it was just really inspirational to go to see somebody talk about how we really have the purpose of education, and the big goal of education is to get everybody who wants to be educated and bring them up.
That feels like very in line with one of our keynotes about Black Girls Code.
Yes.
And how building opportunity and giving folks the opportunity to all get on the same page, and how we can all help each other. That's so, now I'm bummed I didn't go.
It was really good.
Oh, bummer.
I was about to say, and you know, just for reference, if you guys want to go back and hear more about gamification on higher-ed.social, you can listen to David Ng on episode 69.
Yes.
Because he talked about some great stuff with that too. And he's using actually, gamification as a teaching tool.
Yeah, right. He's studying that real life.
Yeah.
It's really cool. But yeah, it's so interesting going to this conference every year, because especially going to the technology and education track, because that is where you I go in with really wide eyes, like, whoa, all this opportunity. Like, I didn't even know these things existed. It's really neat to move forward, because especially, I mean, being in marketing, I feel a little disconnected from the actual academic piece about how our students are learning and what they're doing in class. And this is a good reminder and a good showing of what's to come too, which is really cool.
The other shout out I'll give real quick is Jen Howard's presentation on how to give a presentation and how to be a public speaker.
Well, isn't she from your institution? Are you a little biased?
Yes. We actually drove out and rode back together.
Oh, fun.
Yep. And I had never seen that presentation. She'd actually given it before, but I had not had a chance to see it. But I picked up, you know, I've been doing presentations for a long time, but even I picked up new stuff that I used the next day in my presentation.
Well, good. Immediate takeaways.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So she had immediate takeaways that you could use as a presenter and immediately put them to use. So that was my other one.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So are you saying that she, that you have her to thank for winning Best of Conference?
Absolutely.
Against her.
I will freely give that shout out to her.
Yes, that's another one. It's funny. I think it's fun to play the game of like, how many Red Stapler presentations did I already go to? And normally I get like two or three and I feel really good. Like, oh yeah, I picked some really quality ones. Like the world agrees. But this year, I think I only ended up at one Red Stapler presentation,
wow,
which isn't to say that like I did it wrong, right? Like it doesn't mean like, oh, I did a bad job at the conference. But it was like a bummer to say like, oh, there's all these opportunities and like, you know, people are saying you should really go to these other presentations. So, luckily they're all archived. Shameless plug on Link, the journal for higher ed web marketing professionals. Because we were live blogging a lot of them, especially the Red Staplers. So those are up there, which you can link to in the show notes as well. Cause I was hard at work blogging. And big ups to Dave Tyler and Chris Dorzo and Tim Neckritz and the Link gang, because they did a lot. So that's my shameless plug.
They did a very good job.
Shameless plug. But I was excited just to be in Memphis, to be honest, because I was really ready for some barbecue. So I don't know if you guys
have hope you had your fill of barbecue for the rest of your life.
Oh my gosh. Every meal had pulled pork, which I was totally fine with because it's my favorite type of sandwich. But it, I have never been to Memphis. Logan, I'm sure you've been to Memphis. Paul, have you been?
More than I've ever wanted to go.
That was actually my first time to Memphis.
I liked it. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Beale Street was interesting.
Yes. It reminded me, it felt like it was like Bourbon Street's like little brother that was like, I want to be just like you, but I'm too small. So... But we had
Maine
fun.
Maine was actually kind of fun. It was nice that it was closed off and you just walk around wherever you wanted.
Yep. Yeah. It was neat. Logan, you don't seem as thrilled.
Sure.
Maybe because it's like in your backyard.
No. I just like Nashville better. So I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and say positive things.
There you go. That was very nice of you.
Memphis is definitely the number two barbecue city in Tennessee. So.
To Nashville?
Yeah.
Okay.
According to Travel and Leisure Magazine, it is. And according to my taste of some of the barbecue places in Nashville, yeah. I prefer Nashville's barbecue scene to Memphis's. I don't know why. I feel like, I mean, the one like really awesome... what was supposed to be super awesome, like, you know, Memphis barbecue place was meh, to say the least.
Really?
And, you know, like, there's so many better barbecue places in Nashville than that. And I think it's just because they just maybe cater to tourists, but, and tourists don't know any different, I guess. And it definitely wasn't as good as the last time I did. And I think that's just because I've become a snobby foodie because I live in Nashville. So, yeah. But,
Paul, do you want to go back to Tennessee and we can tour Day's Barbecue?
Day's? So go check out the one he's talking about?
Yeah, we'll go like all over Tennessee and eat barbecue.
There we go.
No, there's really Nashville. There's Nashville and Memphis.
Tennessee's only a few hours away, so it wouldn't be that bad of a drive.
I have to, like, fly. So I'm in a different time zone, so I can fly out. It'd be fine. It's for science. It's for our listeners, for our dedicated listeners.
I will say that I am surprised, though, how much Memphis hasn't changed since the last time I was there. It really, like, is just how I remember it. So, yeah, it hasn't changed much.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. Sorry, listeners. We had to do some editing there. For
profanity. Just blame Finan's beard.
Yep, it's always Finan's beard. Which also, he actually was one of my golden nuggets, Finan's beard. He had a really great, he had a really great presentation on Google Tag Manager, which I enjoyed. It's so funny because he won a red stapler as well. And it was funny to watch him that night he posted a picture on Twitter of him tucking in his red stapler, which was interesting. And the other one that I really liked was, The Making of a Web Team by Jennifer McFarland from NC State University. She had some interesting ideas. One being their web team designates a dissenter every week that argues against everyone else's ideas to kind of shake things up a little bit. And they get a ribbon. And it says special helper. And I found that to be a pretty interesting idea. They also do every week, like Friday, her team goes to a conference room and anyone on campus can come and get advice, get their web stuff worked on, all that kind of stuff, together with one of the team members. And it's interesting.
It's very it's funny because my department, we're technically Office of Communications and Marketing, and it used to be under Advancement, and a couple years ago we were moved out, and so now we kind of loosely refer to different departments on campus as clients, which I don't like to do because I'm we're all one team, we're all Skidmore College, we're not billing you. But that feels very customer service focused and building a better relationship with other departments. Cause I feel like everyone in higher ed is dealing with silos. So I'd be curious to ask her how she feels about the silos at her institution.
Yeah.
Because of that. Did she comment on that?
I don't remember. But I do remember that her entire presentation was Stormtroopers. So,
was that why it was your favorite?
No. It was the ideas that it was a beautiful presentation. Maybe I can post it in the show notes if I can find it, but it was really well designed. And she really fit in cool pictures of Stormtroopers in it. So yeah.
Props to her. I did not have any Stormtroopers in mine.
Yeah.
I did have some Firefly.
Well, that's always good.
Yeah, that's always good.
I feel like I need to start now. I think I'm not nerdy geeky enough for this conference at all anymore. So I need to start brushing up. Well,
you didn't, for her presentation, you didn't have to get, it was artistic pictures of Stormtrooper toys doing things.
Oh, okay.
It was really, you don't have to, you know what a Stormtrooper is, whether you've watched Star Wars or not. They're the bad guys in the white suits.
Right.
In one picture, they were handing flowers to people. It was kind of cool.
Well, it sounds like it was a good conference.
Yes.
Were you going to ask something, Paul? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to ask what your golden nugget was.
Oh, what mine was? So I went to see, during the Red Stapler sessions, after all the Red Staplers were announced, I opted to go see Beloit College's presentation called Mike's an Idiot. And I just sat there half drooling and half sobbing with envy because I love creative marketing campaigns and they really nailed it. They were struggling for enrollment and they really just said, you know what, let's push and let's go completely outside the box and try to really ramp up applications and ramp up our overall enrollment for our incoming class. They did some fantastic things. They had, and I'll try to link to these in the show notes too. They sent out an email to students that just, the subject title was just Mike's an Idiot. And it is a 30-second video, and it starts like grossly cliche, like voiceover, the Beloit logos flying in and out.
It's an Apple commercial. Like,
it's so, wow. It's
they are
so
totally
cliche.
Making fun of an Apple commercial.
And they're like, and they have one of their, I think it's one of their professors now, I can't remember, one of their deans maybe, who acts as kind of like the talking head. And he basically says, like, and now Beloit can fit in the palm of your hand. And like, he raises his hand and like the logo's spinning. And the dean looks at the camera and just said, like, what? Okay, guys, like, this is pretty stupid. Like, what is this? And everyone, you know, they call cut. And then it kind of breaks the fourth wall. And it's just so funny. Because he's like, who wrote this? And you hear someone in the background say like, oh, well, Mike approved it. And he looks at the camera and goes, well, Mike's an idiot. Come to Beloit. It's going to change your life. And that's like the end of the video.
Nice.
But that's so good. Like, why are we wasting our time with like this fluff stuff? And like, I mean, not that there's not value in like the cool drone footage and like students talking about like, this is why I really, you know, why I love Beloit or, you know, whatever. But like, pushing outside the box, I'm like, I gotta get back there and do something cool. I can't keep sending out the same, like, we can't wait to see you on this day at our open house. Like, we can't keep doing that. So now it's like a matter of kind of selling it to our admissions team, which is always, you know, a struggle, to try to sell something that's not really the norm. And so I'm currently working on that, but that was my one like thing. Of it's going to be okay. Like, you can try something new and it might fail. That was kind of one of their takeaways too, was they were like, you know what? We tried some stuff and it wasn't the best, but it was fun. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to do that.
It does seem like most admissions teams don't want to take a risk.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. And like, I understand it because there's a lot on the line with that. You know, if something goes over terribly, it can really affect the numbers. And so I get where they're coming from. And it's a little bit of like, I always picture, there's the scene in Aladdin where, Aladdin is, he's the prince at that point, and he's on the magic carpet and he looks at Jasmine and he reaches out his hand and he just screams, "Do you trust me?" And Jasmine just grabs his hand and he pulls her on the magic carpet. And it's one of those things. It's like, you have to just trust us. Like, we're gonna do this. And so it's a struggle, and I understand where they're coming from. You have to meet them halfway, but it's also, trust is a big thing.
Yeah.
I'll have to find a clip of that. Aladdin's one of my favorite Disney movies.
Yeah. We'll put a link to the Beloit video in the
Definitely.
Notes.
Yeah, so. There is, and we'll link to it too. I'm 95% sure, on the high ed or the conference schedule page site. I think if presenters submitted their slides, they're actually available that anyone can go and check them out. So listeners, even if you're not in marketing or web development in higher education, I definitely suggest just scrolling through. There's some really interesting things that people talked about this time around. And like I said, it's 7 tracks, 12 sessions per track. So there's a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
Especially, it's insane. Crazy, crazy, crazy. I don't know. I think that's probably a good note to end on. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's great.
I just looked up the video. I'm going to watch it.
Go watch it. So, Paul, thank you so much. And congratulations again for being on the show and all the great accomplishments. We can't wait to hear about next year if you're planning to attend and what you'll be presenting. Listeners, thank you for sticking with us this week, especially after our 2-week hiatus. Don't forget, you can find us online at higher-ed.social. We are available on iTunes and on Stitcher for download and subscribing, so please do that. You can tweet at us at HES Podcast if you want to be on the show, if you want to get any of the resources that we talked about, or if you just want to say hi. And don't forget to leave us a review. We really want to know what you guys are thinking, what you want to hear, what you're sick of hearing, all of it. So thank you guys again, and have a great week.
Yep.
Bye.